It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So, tornado touching down in Los Angeles again. That's 2 in 24 hours. We think that God is finally fed up with California's sodomy and variety of other crimes against nature and has decided to go all biblical. That's the only thing we can think.
Well, if you have a society in which crime is encouraged, essentially, violence, theft, that sort of thing, drugs everywhere, people living like zombies, turning their back on all that is good and decent. I mean, if you're looking for an Old Testament cleansing, what more do you need?
Well, I was at a party the other night, and all we did was dance around a golden calf. And I thought, you know, this could be a mistake, but we're having a good time.
Beautiful. You know, I don't claim to know God's will. I'm just saying, do the math. Anyway.
It's good that you don't claim to know God's will. That's probably good.
You want to count up the number of the Ten Commandments being blatantly violated on a daily basis with the approval of the authorities in California? I mean, are any untouched?
Oh, do I covet.
Yeah, I try not to. I try not to.
See, it's fun, though.
That may be my number one deadly sin. Lust.
Coveting your neighbor's wife?
Not sexual lust, but like wanting more.
Oh, yeah.
And what was that you said the other day? And we'll get to the Stanford thing in a second because it's so great. But about look around you at the stuff you really, really wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. How was that worded? It really left a mark on me.
It said something like be proud of yourself or be happy or something because you got it. But I took it the opposite way.
It was the idea that everything you've got right now, you once really, really wanted. Whether it's your spouse, your house, your car, your job, or whatever, you really, really wanted it. And, you know, so if you're not very happy or now and or you're looking at different spouse, different job, different car to make you happy.
Clothes, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember you thought that stuff you're looking at right now was going to do that, right?
Right. Exactly. That's a good lesson. That's something I talk to my kids about a lot.
On the other hand, if you're rich enough, just keep chasing it. It's fine. Supports the economy, right?
You're rich or hot enough, just keep doing it.
So, ugly situation at Stanford. You have a federal judge invited to speak to the law school by the Federalist Society. The Maoist students of the left decided that he should not be allowed to express his ideas, shouted him down. And when a dean showed up, it was one of your deans of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which achieved the opposite of all of those things, interestingly enough, who encouraged the hateful heckling.
And again, I still ask, is the juice worth the squeeze?
What does that mean?
I mean, is it worth the pain that this causes and the division that it causes? You have something so incredible, important to say about Twitter and guns and COVID that is worth this impact on the division of these people who have sat next to each other for years, who are going through what is the battle of law school together so that they can go out into the world and be advocates. And this is the division that's caused. When I say, is the juice worth the squeeze, that's what I'm asking. Is this worth it?
So
and
this,
I hope so, and I'll stay for your remarks to see.
That's enough. So this lunatic is suggesting that anybody who offers ideas that aren't already believed by the little Maoist students is causing divisions and making everybody sad and should probably leave campus.
I just...
On a so-called elite university graduate school.
Well, yeah, and that's sort of a separate topic, but just that whole phrase of the battle of law school, and I've heard from people that law school is quite the grind, and I'm sure it is, but still.
Yeah, lots of things are.
But yeah, exactly, and you're at freaking Stanford Law setting up a wonderful, wonderful life that almost everybody in the world would love to have.
But so they've worked so hard together, she says, on the verge of tears, because it's all about emotion.
Don't hit me with the battle of law school crap when your ticket has been punched multiple times.
So Jeffrey Blair has written a great piece in the National Review. The dean of the law school, and it gets into what happened to her, has sent out a memo to the student body. And I thought about just reading it to you, but I love his commentary, so I'll hit you with some of this. Those who haven't kept up to speed on the increasingly weird scenes inside the gold mine of America's elite law schools may have missed the latest outrage from the denizens of Stanford Law School. And he goes into the situation where the judge is shouted down by a howling mob of LGBTQ activists and the school's own DEI administrator. Just unbelievable. It must be emphasized how direct the confrontation between the Stanford administration and its students has become. They mention that the dean of the law school, Dean Jennifer Martinez. Oh, I should throw this in. What needs to be emphasized is that after the incident, the Stanford law protesters did not meekly desist in shame, as one might expect them to after having publicly disgraced themselves. Instead, they demanded, one, that Dean Jennifer Martinez rescind her formal apology to the judge, and two, place permanent restrictions on what speakers the Federalist Society can invite to campus and what topics can be discussed. And three, expel the school's current Federalist Society members. So, again, these Maoist students who the dean supported, the other dean, demanded they get to decide what speakers and what topics can be on campus and to expel any of the kids on the Federalist Society board. Good Lord. Reading on, it must be emphasized how direct the confrontation between the Stanford administration and the students has become. Martinez is a professor, in addition to her duties as a dean. After her apology to the judge, her constitutional law class was protested by an eerie horde of law student activists, the same cadre that disrupted the original event, one imagines, who ringed the perimeter of her class silently, wearing masks, after papering the blackboard with appallingly erroneous understandings of free speech as both law and ethos. One imagines this escalation forced her hand. I'm sorry, didn't you have a comment? Or
I was just actually looking for some tweets from Tim Sandifer that I saw.
Oh, I have one of
them.
Okay, handy. Yeah. Dean Martinez responded today by lowering the boom in a 10-page memorandum addressed to the student body. She's decided it's time to send the entire Stanford law class to re-education camp. I'm only half kidding. And in a surprising twist, it's not DEI, quite the opposite. It's an instructional course on how the heckler's veto is illegitimate. That's when you shout down a speaker to prevent their ideas from being shared. How one must tolerate and reckon with opposing opinions, both as a virtue in and of itself, but also because one will be an appallingly poor lawyer unless one develops this basic mental discipline.
Yeah, the heckler's veto thing should be understood as if we're going to decide that if enough people shout loudly, the speaker can't speak, well, we're done with public discourse.
Right.
Because you could always get together, you know, a handful of people to shout at every speaker.
Right,
on
and
every
all it
topic.
Takes is a handful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Martina's memorandum is, in all substantive respects, an excellent defense of the principles of free speech, free inquiry, and minority rights, as well as closely argued on the legal merits. She does not stop at grudging acknowledgement of the right of people like Judge Duncan to be heard uninterrupted. In fact, a strain of near disbelief filters through her carefully chosen words. This is the part that really made an impression on me and scares me a little bit. The strain of near disbelief through her carefully chosen words as she keenly emphasizes how antithetical the student's behavior is to the spirit of free inquiry. Her contempt for the behavior of Associate DIA Dean Tyrion Steinbach is barely concealed as well. But there is something wildly unsettling about Stanford Law, one of the most prestigious legal institutions in America, having to send its entire student body to remedial civic education because its members have either forsworn all previous norms of acceptable conduct or were so poorly formed that they don't even realize that there's something important they failed to learn in the first place. They're supposed to be the next generation of great legal minds, the elite of the elite, and they apparently need to have it carefully explained to them that using mob tactics and social pressure campaigns to silence your enemies is not kosher. Martina's tone alternates between patient pedagogy. It's both ghastly and comedic to read her walking her students like toddlers through concepts like, quote, it's wrong to just censor the Federalist Society because they are right wing, and hopeless appeals to a pluralism alien to her students. This is the key. There's something pathetically touching about her attempt to remind the self-righteous LGBTQ activists on campus that they are, in fact, the dominant party and that they're cynically attempting to crush the tiny minority of students in the Federalist Society.
That's a good point right there.
You're not bravely standing up for the downtrodden. You're the force. You're the power. You are the oppressor.
Yeah, on the college campuses, you're the man.
And Jeffrey points out, it's touching because they already know this and they do not care. They consider that the right and proper order of things. Stanford Law has issued a fine statement of principle as far as it goes, and the devil's in the detail as far as living up to it. But it is impossible not to also read it as a warning, a hard line laid down by a startled older generation only finally awakening to the realization that, due to years of corruption of norms and education, the kids are not all right. As beautifully said.
And the question of, will anybody be disciplined in a way that's going to hinder their graduation or anything? Of course not.
As Tim Sandifer commented via Twitter, well, it's a fine memo, I suppose, but meaningless, really, without disciplining the disruptors, which, as I predicted, will never happen. Also, I love the phrase, needless to say, in a memo that explains in excruciating detail principles of free speech every student should already know. So it's not needless to say, it needs to be said over and over and over again and enforced.
Yeah, oftentimes the words you hear after it goes without saying needs to be said.
Yeah. One more comment Tim made that I thought was good. And let's be honest here. They do know. The students who did this know it isn't protected free speech. They just don't care. And why should they when there are no real consequences?
Right.
More to come on this. We're actually due to be talking to Tim pretty soon, I think.
He's ill. We will talk to him next week.
Okay, great.
Gave him COVID.
I don't see how that would happen via text, but he's involved in a really important case in Arizona, and I'd love to talk to him about this.
I said yesterday that I feel like we're going to have at least one AI story every day for a while. We got another one today. Among other things to talk about. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
In this courtroom saga that Gwyneth Paltrow is now starring in is growing by the day. It's a civil case, but it could damage her image and cost her some money.
As the real-life courtroom drama unfolds...
Good morning.
Day two brought new tension in the case of Paltrow versus Sanderson, the retired optometrist suing the Oscar-winning actress, claiming she violently crashed into him during a 2016 family ski trip in Park City, Utah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of the guy. I don't know if I'd like to admit to the idea that 65-pound Gwyneth Paltrow ran me over and hurt me. She talks to water, for crying out loud.
Well, you know,
she weighs as much as an infant.
A 65-pound cannonball careening out of control down a ski slope, Jack. You've skied.
So
that's highly irresponsible for you to say.
I don't have any idea what happened here, but it's certainly possible that you'd realize when you got knocked down by someone that, wow, that is a famous person with deep pockets. I am already I'm having trouble seeing my back. Yeah, who knows? You don't know.
Yeah, it's not out of the question.
Among the things that this guy claims, now he's only suing for $300,000, which helps the argument that it's not a cash grab, because I would think if you were somebody who thought, oh my God, I just got hit by a wealthy person, you would go for millions, right? Wouldn't you? You'd just start
big. I would think so. Sure, yeah.
The fact that it's $300,000, but among the things that this optometrist, neurologist person is claiming happened is that Gwyneth hit him, looks down at him. He's unconscious. But other people reported this. He got knocked unconscious. She hits him, looks down at him, and then skis off, which I don't know what I'm required to do if I knock somebody down. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't ski off if somebody was laying there.
Well, you're a cold-hearted piece of garbage if you do.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you don't call for medical attention?
I don't know. And she talks to water, as I pointed out. She believes water has feelings. Maybe she doesn't think skiers have feelings. I don't know. What was the thing? Oh, he's claiming that he can't enjoy wine drinking anymore because of the damage done.
And that's sue for at least 300 grr.
That's one of his big complaints. Something happened with his ability to enjoy wine tasting.
Well, I've long believed that everybody involved in Shakespeare in Love beating out Saving Private Ryan for the best picture should be in prison. So if this is a step in that direction... Good.
I agree. That's what the judge should say. I don't know about the particulars of this case, but Shakespeare in Love was not the best picture. And for that, we sentence you to 14 years hard labor.
Fair enough.
How does a celebrity ever get a fair shake, whether it's unfair in their favor or unfair against them? I just can't imagine how it ever doesn't play a role somehow. The fact that you're well-known and wealthy and the way the jurors either like you more or dislike you more or whatever. It would be really tough.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, a bench trial, you might be able to get a fair shake, but
like I
no,
automatically,
in the jury room, it'd either be an advantage or a disadvantage, but it wouldn't be a neutral.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, there's no way it'd be a neutral. I automatically, as a juror, would think I hate Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. A candle that smells like her hoo-hoo. Are you butts?
That's what I'd say as a juror. Like, I don't know about anything, but she sells candles that smell like her privates. So for that reason, I say guilty. Guilty of all counts.
Sounds good to me, says the rest of the jury room.
Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about what's the chat GPT story of the day, or the artificial intelligence story of the day. Did you see those pictures that we tweeted out yesterday that our friend Craig made? He had the artificial intelligence combine Joe and I's photos into one person. And they're disturbing on a number of levels. But my real point is that the fact that a guy who's an amateur at this can do that in like a couple of minutes in learning about it. What are experts going to be able to do with this stuff?
His output within a week of getting hold of these apps has been equal to the top 100th of 1% of the artistically talented among us 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that you had to be Steven Spielberg to do not long ago.
Yeah.
Now
it's just a gifted artist, yeah.
Yeah, so where this is all headed, I don't flip a no. But it's headed somewhere, and it's headed there dang fast. We got more on that coming up in a little bit. The TikTok hearings continue to go on. Any highlights from that, we'll have them for you. If you miss an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I heard that Google just released their own artificial intelligence chatbot called Bard. Did you hear about this? Yeah, but people have noticed that Bard makes a lot of mistakes and is less accurate than ChatGPT. So we decided to test them out by asking them both the same questions, okay? For instance, if you ask, what do humans need to survive? ChatGPT said, food, water, and shelter. While Bard said, fuego, chili, lime, takis. Here's another one. When you ask, what are the three branches of government? ChatGPT says, legislative, executive, and judicial. But Bard says, diners, drive-ins, and dives. And finally, when you ask, if 3x minus y equals 12, what is the value of 8 to the power of x divided by 2 to the power of y? ChatGPT says, 2 to the power of 12, while Bard says, ask ChatGPT. So they're still working out the kinks there, I think.
The reality is that Google, for whatever reason, is only kind of a little bit rolled out their new thing because they're not quite ready to spring it on everybody, with most people who follow this stuff believing Google is going to unleash something that's going to blow all our socks off compared to these other ones, which is troubling on its own because it's already blown my socks off. I'm sockless already. Again, our friend Craig, who's been messing around with a lot of this different stuff for a variety of reasons, both the text and the photos, was showing us how you can create picture. They're photos. They look like real human beings that actually exist, but they don't exist. These people don't exist.
Oh, yeah.
And what does that mean? So, first of all, I don't understand why there will ever be another model that makes a scent. Why would that exist at all?
No, the artificially created models that he sent us links to are... they might as well be human. I mean, they're indistinguishable from real photoshopped or retouched human models.
Right. And again, this is a friend of ours who's messed around with this for a little bit. Now, he's smarter than the average person, but still, he's not. This isn't his expertise. You get somebody who's that's their expertise, like, you know, design or photography or understanding what models people need for clothes or whatever. But man, if you can come up with the hottest red-headed, blue-eyed woman that's 26 years old, or then immediately change it to slightly taller, slightly shorter, slightly heavier, whatever. Why would there ever be models again? Not that I'm that concerned about the end of modeling as a world, but it's just so many things are going to be upended so fast. And then the idea that you can create super hot women that have a 28-year-old body, but their face looks like they're a 16-year-old.
For a 12-year-old.
For the pervo crowd. You know how every year Abercrombie and Fitch would get in trouble for having really youngish-looking models wearing seductive clothing, and that's not okay, and blah, blah, blah. Well, if these people don't actually exist, how are you going to police that at all among the pervos?
Right.
I don't
actually know. Are there laws against a gifted artist drawing an underage person, a child engaged in sexual activity, and distributing those images? I don't know.
I don't know that either. But
because if you can, and you can right now, create photorealistic, utterly convincing children having sex.
Oh, geez, what a imagery. Horror. I don't even like to think about it.
And soon videos. Except those children don't exist.
How about...
where does that leave us?
Well, I don't like this topic, but is there a possibility that if you can create it through AI and it's realistic, that freaking weirdo crowd that ought to be locked up in prison for the rest of their lives doesn't need to use real human beings? Is that a possibility? So that's a good thing for society.
I don't know.
God dang it. It's also hard to wrap your head around where this is all going. Anyway, speaking of tech, TikTok, which we all know is a company designed to ruin our minds and spy on us from China, their top person is being grilled by a bunch of Congress people today. And let's hear a little bit of this. This is Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers. I don't know her, but let's hear it.
Your platform should be banned. I expect today you'll say anything to avoid this outcome, like you are 100% responsible for what TikTok does, that you suddenly endorse a national data privacy standard, that Project Texas is more than a marketing scheme, that TikTok doesn't harm our innocent children, or that your ties to the Chinese Communist Party through ByteDance is just a myth. We aren't buying it.
Wow.
That was some good stuff. Although I
way
was
to bring it.
Yeah, that was good stuff. I agree with all that. I mean, I was saying that they're all going to really enjoy this one because there's no downside for just lambasting this TikTok guy in China. I mean, everybody's on the same side of this argument, so you can just go off and get on your local TV back home, and it ends up being a raccoon dog and pony show. But we've got other questioning going on. Let's hear some more of this.
Would you commit to that, not selling the data you collect?
Congressman, I believe we don't sell data to any data brokers.
You don't sell to anyone?
We don't sell data to data brokers.
I didn't ask you data brokers. You sell it to anyone. In other words, under our bill, you could only use the data for your own purposes, not to sell it to anyone. Would you commit to not selling your data to anyone?
Congressman, I actually am in support of some rules.
I didn't ask you whether the rules. Yeah. I asked you whether the company, TikTok, would commit to not selling its data to anyone and just using it for its own purposes internally.
I can get back to you on the details
of
that.
Okay, get back to me. All right.
Oh, he learned that one from Mark Zuckerberg. Here's a congressman.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, on one level, they all do exactly what you're asking about. So let's haul Mark Zuckerberg in and
everybody else. It's funny. That's the exact thing I was thinking. Like, well, I'm sure TikTok is a malevolent force on planet Earth, especially for Americans. But what you're just discussing there is Google and Facebook and practically every app that you download if you read their user agreement.
Correct.
There's some more questioning of the man.
But the Chinese government has that data. How can you promise that that will move into the United States of America and be protected here?
Congresswoman, I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what? I find that actually preposterous.
And in order to assure everybody here and all our users, our commitment is to move their data into the United States to be stored on American soil by an American company, overseen by American personnel. So the risk will be similar to any government going to an American company asking for data.
Well, I'm one that doesn't believe that there is really a private sector in China.
Because that's true. And good for you. That's a Democrat from California there. Good for you, because that's the way it works. But so you'd have to believe that even if this guy or whoever at TikTok would like to do that, you'd have to believe that they're going to be able to gather all this information about Americans, keep it on a server in the United States. And if the Communist Party of China comes knocking and says, hey, we would like to like you to download all that and send it to us, that you're going to say no.
Well, the idea is it's on American servers overseen by an American company in America. Well, the question is there any access by executives on TikTok calling from Minneapolis, St. Paul, saying, hey, I need access to this. I need to look at it. And then can they do anything with it that then could go to the Chinese Communist government? And I don't know enough about the technology to really comment intelligently about it, but that's my concern.
Good for her, though, man. We have the attitude of Americans and our government toward China has changed so much so fast. I mean, you know, talk about being woke. We're all woke to what the reality of the Chinese Communist Party is. Here's a little more on that conversation.
I do want to quote from employees that you had. Everything is seen in China. How do you respond to that?
I disagree with that statement.
Well, I know you disagree with that statement. But my point is, how does that happen that employees are saying that, in fact, that's not true?
I don't know who this person is, so I cannot speak to what the person has or has not said. What I can say is, you know, based on my position in this company and the responsibility that I have, that statement is just not true.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that information?
You know, at a certain point, you've got a known criminal, dangerous criminal.
China?
Right. Well, I'm building a metaphor here, but yeah.
All right.
Who is arguing in favor of access to your bank accounts and goes on and on with multiple ways in which your money will be kept safe, that known aggressive criminal will not access your money. And you listen to this stuff and you think, wow, that sounds kind of reasonable. I have a question about that, but Wait a minute. At the root of this, a known aggressive criminal is asking me for access to my bank account. Why would I even take the chance?
Yeah, I think we're just headed down the road, and this is probably the opening act that will set the tone from here on out. We're just going down the road of Chinese companies can't be doing business in America.
Well, to a large extent, yeah.
Because there's no such thing, as that one congressperson said, there's no such thing as an independent Chinese company. They're all responsive to the Communist Party, so there you have it.
Right. All right, here's my argument in favor of TikTok. And this argument, I would think, oh, okay, all right.
So you're putting on the big sloped hat.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. To make the
represent
argument.
A Chinese company?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm putting on a coolie hat? That would be absurd. Okay. Anyway, I'll put on whatever hat you like. Here's my argument. TikTok has long been a cash cow and a data siphon for us here in China. You've caught on to the fact that it's a data siphon for the purposes of the Chinese Communist Party. And you don't like it, we get that. But we really, really want it to keep being a cash cow. And it's such a good cash cow, we'll give up on the data thing. We'll give up on the spying thing if you'll just keep pouring money into us, please. If he said that, I would think, okay, finally we're down to brass tacks here.
Pretty good argument, too.
But that's what they're trying to say.
Yeah, and you could see making that decision. No, this is too lucrative to lose. We'd love it if we could continue. They should just say it out loud like you're saying. And we'd love it if we could keep stealing your information and building a dossier on every citizen in the entire country. But, you know, you're not going to let us. So I guess we'll just go with the money-making part of it.
So if this Chew guy comes into your home to just directly steal all your cash, you're going to want to know about it. And if you have Simply Safe Home Security, our beloved sponsor, you will know about it. You want to do everything to protect your family, and that's why we recommend Simply Safe Home Security. They make it easy to protect every inch of your home with advanced security tech powered by 24/7 professional monitoring.
How many different magazines or publications have said Simply Safe is the best? And that's the best against way more expensive systems that are out there and more complicated. Simply Safe is simple to order, simple to use, no long-term contracts, and costs about $1 a day. That's amazing.
24/7 professional monitoring using Fast Protect technology to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority police dispatch, which is great. And that 24/7 professional monitoring service costs under $1 a day. That's less than half the price of the traditional systems. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Customize the perfect system for your home in a few minutes. Go today. Claim a free indoor security camera and 20% off your order with monitoring. simplysafe.com/Armstrong. simplysafe.com/Armstrong. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I have a feeling we'll have more highlights from that hearing coming up. I mean, the building anger there from both parties. I think at some point somebody's going to jump up on the desk and say, "Let's get him!" And they all storm him, and he's going to have to protect himself with his fists. That's what I expect to happen in the next hour or so. And if you'd like to tell us your TikTok experiences or how addictive it is or what you do or don't like about it, a text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Tornadoes in Los Angeles. What the hell? I mean, now it's just things have gotten crazy.
They started crazy.
True.
Now it's just over the top. Chaos. Snow. Tornadoes. Zombie camps full of the undead. Crime.
Yeah, good point. TikTok hearing going on right now, and somebody texted and I looked into it. Yeah, TikTok is one of those apps that get to look at all your keystrokes. I'm not going to have any app ever that gets to do that. I mean, that's crazy that because you're going to play this free game that I downloaded on my kid's phone, this happens, they always want these various games, and I look into them, and yeah, they get to monitor every keystroke you make on any of your devices. No. Yeah.
or get to access to your contacts or whatever. It's just unbelievable.
Now,
oh, speaking
come
of TikTok,
on, China?
You know, amidst all of our discussions this morning, we haven't thrown in the fact that 24 U.S. states, several colleges, Congress, the armed forces have all banned this app on their phones. I mean, that's not because they're paranoid or overreaching, because they've looked at it and thought, wow, this is completely unacceptable. So in many, many aspects of American society, many areas, it's already banned.
So we're on
at
the
least
topic,
on official phones.
We got on the topic earlier about how giving the thumbs down is better than the middle finger in terms of actually having an effect. I think you're actually going to get to somebody's conscience if you give them a thumbs down on a driving maneuver or something. Whereas you flip them off, they just write you off as a nut job. Anyway, we got this text. I prefer to show my anger by getting on the other person's bumper and brandishing a crowbar out the window. Another one I like is getting in front of the car and slamming on my brakes. Those are also good ways.
That's a good one.
Those are also good ways.
Unmistakable.
Make it very clear that you're unhappy with them.
Oh, boy.
There's lots of videos out there. My kids, or my oldest son particularly likes the videos of, what is that website he's got? Look at all the wham bam Tesla cam. It's because all the Teslas out there have video. They're taking video all the time. So anything that happens on the road is being videoed if there's a Tesla around. And so all these videos end up in just all kinds of mayhem. There's so much more mayhem that goes on the roads than you think because you never see it. But now that it's been being recorded and as soon as every car manufacturer has, you know, cameras and they're recording constantly, oh my God, every interaction will always be, maybe that'll make us more polite. You won't be able to scream F-U-U-B, get out of your car against some mother of three because you feel like she cut you off. If you know every car in the area is videotaping you right now and it's going to end up not only in a police report, but, you know, on the evening news.
Generally, a person that stupid can't control themselves, so it might have some effect. But, you know, there's a craze of dash cams in Eastern Europe and Russia. And so that's why you get so many videos of log trucks overturning or head-on collisions or motorcycles wrecking or whatever. Because those people have those things running all the time just in case something crazy happens. So, yeah, if, like, every car in America is running that, you're going to see some horrendous S.
Yeah, you are. But you wouldn't believe how often this happens. My son shows me these videos, and I would have thought, you know, every now and then it happens. But apparently it happens all over the place all the time where people, like, feel like they got cut off or something. You know, something made them angry. You went first when you're waiting in line for something. And so they endanger everybody's lives, scream past people at 70 miles an hour, get right in front of you, slam on their brakes, jump out of their car, want to fight you. It happens all the freaking time. There's a lot of lunatics on the road.
Wow. A lot of anger out there. A lot of angry people not doing the work to process their anger, trying to take it out on strangers. Sad. Sad.
What do you suggest they do? Yoga?
Breathing exercises? Deep breathing exercises. I was just reading a study. Excuse me. I got to do mine. Where that's even better than meditating.
Deep
fixating
breathing.
On your breathing. Just the breathing, the pace of it. It slows your emotions. It's cleansed. I don't remember exactly. It explained why it's so good for you. But they said they saw substantial drops in anxiety and depression among people who did that.
Huh. Do we not breathe the way we used to breathe?
I think it's as simple as slow down. Slow down. Let's take a minute. In life, you have to do that regularly. We are frantic in the 21st century. Inputs coming at us 24/7. Action, action, action all the time in a way that human beings are not designed for.
We do 4 hours of this here radio show. If you miss an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.